Amen. Let's go to John. Brother Valentine, I'll tell you, you bounced all around and all around and all around. I said, he's going to stay. And if you didn't come after that, you hit my scripture. And now I feel like I'm just reiterating something else, you know. But okay. Let's go to John 5 and 6. This is the Pool of Bethesda, impotent man. But I read this story. It's dangerous to reread anything you think you know. It's dangerous to reread it and blank out everything you thought you knew and just reread it again, fresh, because you'll get something fresh out of it. And I reread this story for the first time again, and I want to share with you what I saw. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, Jesus already knew before we actually is recorded how long, he already knew he was been in that case for a long time. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I want to rephrase that for the meaning out of it. Wilt thou be made whole? Who doesn't want to be whole? Who doesn't want to be well? Who doesn't want, you know? But I want to rephrase it because I want to show you really what he's trying to get out of this man. I want to ask you this question this way. How serious are you? How serious are you? Let's pray. Lord, I come before you this morning. Ooh, glory to God. I feel the presence of your spirit here today. Lord, I pray that everybody that's here is as serious about their salvation as you was when you came to this earth. Help us, Lord, that mind that was in Christ to be also in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How serious are you? Jesus was always looking for some serious disciples. Serious disciples. I've learned you can't deal with people that aren't serious. You know, you can't deal. Jesus found one man. He was headed to. He wanted to know if he wanted to be his disciple. And the man said, Jesus met him along the way, and he said, "You want to be my disciple?" He said, "Well, I bought me a piece of land. I have to go see about it. Check with me later. But right now, I'm not serious." Even King Agrippa told Paul, he said, at a more convenient, I'm not really serious right now. I'm not serious. And then so Jesus, on that same little journey, he runs into another man and he says, how about you? You want to follow me? He said, I would, but right now, he said, I bought a team of mules and I got to go try them. But one day I'll get serious about following you, but right now I don't really have time. So he finds him another man. Says, how about you? You going to follow me? He said, I'm having trouble following you right now. I'd like to follow you, but I married me a wife. And that's all the explanation he said. And Jesus said, I understand. But if you ever get serious about living for God, let me know. If you ever get serious, I didn't say desperate. There's a lot of difference between desperate and serious. You can be desperate and not be serious. Because a lot of people that you find them in a desperate situation, I want to live for God and get my life right. I'm telling you, I'm through with this world. And as soon as they get better, next time they're in trouble, God, I'm serious. Let me know when you get serious. How serious are you about really, really living for God? Are you serious about living for God? That's why I've tried to get these kids to sit up here as much as I can, get them. And that's why I like for her to get them up here, because we won't find out who's serious. That music you heard this morning, that don't just happen. Somebody's serious. Preaching you're going to hear this morning, that don't just happen. I didn't get off the golf course 15 minutes ago. Somebody's serious. Amen. That teaching you heard this morning, I'm telling you, I talked to him like on Tuesday. He said, brother, I'll be ready. And he was ready this morning. You heard a great Sunday school lesson this morning. Because I'm serious. You know, many times we hear about accidents and things happen, and man, I was in a terrible accident. What happened? Well, the car rolled over four or five times, man. And he said, well, you hurt? No, I didn't come out without a scratch. Okay. Well, let's keep on partying then. Praise the Lord. God, the Lord's good. The Lord's good. And you go right back at it. But you know, sometimes what happens is you say, well, how serious was it? Well, I got 3 fractured ribs, 2 broke bones, and a partridge in a pear tree. I mean, and a broke knee. It don't matter about the car now, you see? See what I'm trying to tell you? All of a sudden, the car doesn't matter. It's all of a sudden, it's me that matters. But as long as you come out with no scratch, man, that car, you ought to see that car. Let me show you that car. And God's saying, show me you. Show me you. Show me what condition you're in. And let's get serious about living for God. Amen. So he's asking this man, how serious are you? I'll tell you what serious is. Serious is where 4 men bring their buddy who's got palsy, and they bring him in a sheet, and they go up to see Jesus to get his healing. And they look, and there's a big crowd there, and they go, well, pal, you know what? Let's wait till the crowd dwindles down. We'll come back later, about closing time. Oh, no. We're serious. We're serious. How serious are you? I'm so serious that we'll climb on top of this man's house, who I don't even know who's there. I'll cut a hole in the tiling. I'll worry about paying for that later, because I'm serious about getting my friend well. That's how serious I am. And when Jesus saw how serious they were, he said, not only thy sins be forgiven thee, but rise up and walk. Amen. Woman with the issue of blood, serious about getting her healing, pressed through the crowd. And this morning, my question to you is, how serious are you about really, really living for God? Why does it seem to take something to get people serious? Being lost in eternity does not seem to get people serious. And that's why the Lord uses our flesh and breaks it down sometimes to get you serious about eternity. Jesus has been at there's a feast going on in Jerusalem, and Jesus perhaps passed by the feast. I don't know if he went or not, but he did show up at this pool of Bethesda, which was called the Sheep Pool in the Hebrew tongue, meaning Bethesda. It had 5 porches out, and where all these impotent, a multitude, the Bible says, of impotent folks, lame folks, blind folks, withered folks, all waiting folks. They're all waiting. They're waiting for the stirring, the moving of the water, believing that some angel is going to come down in some season, we don't know when, and going to stir up the water, and the first one that gets in the water going to be healed. And they're waiting, and there's a multitude, and only one going to get healed. It sounds like they would be serious, but the truth is, this was the nursing home of the day. Somehow they survived sitting on these porches. I don't know who was paying their tab, but for 38 years, this man has been in this condition. Don't know how long he had been there, but for 38 years he had been there, hoping that he could be the first one to touch that water and be healed of whatever disease he had. 38 years. And when Jesus comes to him, it's interesting that it says, and he knew how long he had been in that case. Because this man had been in this condition longer than Jesus was old. He must have been God. He already knew. Maybe even 8 years this man had already been in his condition before Christ was ever born. Think about it. 38 years. Anybody 38 in the house? Anybody? Go here, 48. 38 years is a long time. And Jesus comes to him in verse 6. He says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now long time been in that case, he said unto him, how serious are you? Do you just want to be healed or do you want to be made whole? Because there's a big difference when people seek God that they just want, I just want my healing. I just want to get well. I just want out of this financial problem that I'm in, but I don't want to be whole. I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to pause in a minute. I'm going to teach you something. If I could, I want to teach you what whole really means. Because believe it or not, the word holy, H-O-L-Y, is derived from the word whole, W-H-O-L-E. It comes from that word. You ever heard the word holism? It is the understanding that the parts of a whole are in intimate interconnection such that they cannot exist independently of the whole and cannot be understood without reference to the whole. Let me give you an example. Anybody have a heart this morning? Okay. Take your heart out of your body. They both die. They both die. Because they're intimately interconnected so that you're not whole without your heart. Neither are you whole without your little finger. You're not whole. You may survive, you'll be fine, but you're not whole. But look at the more critical things like your lungs and your brain and things like this. That's an intricate part, and you're not whole unless those parts are there. You can't talk about life without talking about the heart. You can't talk about life without talking about the lungs. They're intimately intertwined with each other. And so it is in living for God in that we must be, our lives with God must be so intertwined with living for God that we can understand the scripture. We are complete in him. So that I can't tell you about my life without telling you about God. I can't tell you about my business unless I tell you about God. I can't tell you about my children unless I tell you about God. I can't tell you about my health unless I tell you about God. I can't tell you about my church unless I tell you about God. Because everything I do is about God. Anybody ever ate whole grain foods? Whole grain. It's unindoctrinated, uninfiltrated. It's not broken down. It's whole. So holiness, you ready for this? That's where it's working up. Holiness is where nothing is missing. Holiness is where nothing is lacking. It's whole. Holiness is nothing missing on the inside. Nothing missing on the outside. Amen. Holiness means you are complete in every way. Nothing is missing. You cannot be, listen close, you cannot be holy in one part of your life and be unholy in another part of your life and say, I am holy. You can't do it. Because what you look like on the outside is intertwined to what's on the inside, and what's on the inside is intertwined to what's on the outside. So that there to be holy, you have to be holy. It's not about your clothes. It's not about the length. It's not about all those things. It's about holiness. And holiness will be a reflection of what's on the inside. Christ said, be ye holy as I am holy. And how was he holy? Because he said, I and my Father are one. I am in him and he is in me, and I will be in you and you will be in me. That's holiness in every way. So that if he is in you and you're in him, you're like him in every way. Oh, Lord. You remember the three parables of the lost, one of the lost sheep, lost coin, lost son? Can I tell you what the Lord showed me? That was all about holiness. See, we're so brainwashed to believe holiness is this and is this and is this and is this. It's not that at all. I'm not saying you exclude that. What I'm saying is that's not it. When you look at the three parables, you find in these three parables there was one lost sheep. One. How many was left at home? In the corral. How many left? 99. It's unholy. It was not whole. It was not complete. And the shepherd said, I'm undone. This is not complete. I can't sleep tonight with one thing left that's not holy. It's not part of it. We're not complete. We're missing one. And he leaves the 99 and he goes out and finds the one that is lost and brings it back that there may be completeness or holiness inside that camp. And when he brings the one back, this is what the book says, so the holy angels do rejoice in heaven at the repentance of one sinner when they come back. So that parable is about holiness, completeness, entirety. So when you look at the lost coin, the lady that lost the coin couldn't sleep at night, got her out of room and swept the floor. Where was the coin lost? In the house. But she said, I'm missing my set. I had 10 and I cannot sleep. I cannot go on with life until I become holy. And when she found the one, she calls her friends. She calls her neighbors. Hey, I'm complete now. I'm holy. In the case of the son that left his father's house, we know that he left on his own accord. He did leave. He left with what he thought was his. He left with his father saying, give me, give me, give me. He came back to his father saying, make me, make me, make me. But the thing is, he came back and his father was waiting for him because he knew a whole house ain't a whole house when you got one outside the house. And some of you that have children that aren't in the ark of safety, I know you don't sleep at night every time you pray, Lord, protect my children, Lord, because you don't feel holy and complete in that household without everybody on the ark. Let's do that. Clap our hands to the Lord. You mamas and daddies know what I'm talking about. And when the son came back, the daddy said, thank God, I'm whole now. I'm well now. I'm happy now. And they all rejoiced. Jesus did not ask this man, you want to be healed? He asked him, do you want to be made whole? Are you, how serious are you, just hanging out here? Or how serious are you really about this? And I'm afraid too many times we just want to be healed. Too many times we just want help, but we don't want to be holy. We don't want to quit this over here because I just want you to fix me here, Lord. Don't fix me over there. That verse 6 again just really caught my attention. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Listen to the man's explanation. The impotent man, the weak man, the powerless man answered and said him, sir. That lets you know he's already serious. Sir, tell you something. I have no man. You see all them other cats hanging out on this porch? They got help. You want to know how serious I am? I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. Now watch. But while I am coming, while I'm not waiting on another man, he's telling Christ how serious I'm doing it anyway. While I am doing it anyway, another steppeth down before me. This man was showing him how serious he really was. This was not an excuse to not be healed. It was he was telling Christ, I am working at it. I am giving it everything I got. And I want to tell you this morning that God knows how serious you are when he sees you trying to do something by yourself. You show me somebody who really needs help and they say, no, I got it. I will show you somebody who is serious. And God looks down and he sees mamas trying to raise kids by themselves, working one job. He sees daddies that lost their job trying to provide for their family. He knows that when you're serious and when you're not serious. You can't tell God, I'm serious, Lord. Lord, I'm serious. And look and act like this. When they got serious in the Old Testament, you know what they did? Ashes and sackcloth. A king one day was walking on the wall, got his long attire, and he heard they were eating their own babies. When he heard that, he took his clothes and rent it, and the Bible says underneath there was sackcloth. Serious. How serious are we? Sir, I have no man, but I'm still trying. Sir, I have no help, but I'm still trying. Sir, I didn't get healed last year, but I'm still trying. And I want to tell and help somebody this morning, God sees just how serious you are about whatever it is you're serious about. Don't ever give up. God sees you, whether you how far you drive to church. One way to get here for an hour or an hour and a half and drive back home alone. Don't think God doesn't see how serious you are about living for God. When God saw, Jesus saw how serious this man was, the impotent man, not making excuses, but rather saying, God, I don't have anybody to help me, but while I am coming, I didn't just say, well, they're going to beat me again this year. No, why? I'm going to try. I'm going to try. And while he's trying, someone beats me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he explained to him just how serious I am about this, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. We don't need to wait on the stirring of the water. We don't need to wait on an angel. We don't need to wait on any other man because you're serious about this thing. You know when you get the Holy Ghost? I tell people all the time, oh, I just don't know why I can't get the Holy Ghost. I just can't get the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, the day you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found of you. The day you get serious about this, God will meet you there. Amen. Too many times I'm afraid people are serious, but they're serious about the wrong thing. They're serious about the wrong thing. They're not really serious about living for God. Afterward, when we look down at that's verse 9, I won't take up your time this morning, but you get down to verse 14, we find that Jews of that day, they were serious too about the wrong thing. And not a lot of people go to church, they're serious about the wrong thing. Did you see that, what she wore? Did you see that? Did you hear? Well, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about him. They're serious about the wrong thing. The Jews looked, and they wasn't serious about the man who got the healing. They were serious about the law. And they said, hey, pal, who? Hey, you. You can't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. We got a law about that. And he said, well, that guy, what guy? Well, there was a guy I saw. He's the one that told me to take up my bed and walk. Oh, seriously, huh? I'll never forget John McEnroe. How many of you remember John McEnroe, the tennis player? Mm-hmm. And the ball hit outside, and he thought it was inside. He'd walk up to that. He'd say, you can't be serious. You remember that? So I want to show you that the man was changed in many ways. He was on the porch, right? Impotent man. But the Lord did more than heal him, and I'm going to show you. Afterward, in verse 14, Jesus findeth him in the temple. People that are made whole don't get their healing and go home and start partying again. People that are serious about living for God, he changes them to stay changed. If you get healed outside of being made whole, then you better get ready for it again. But if you get whole, then you will be healed and stay that way. Because him who the Son has set free is free indeed. He's free in every way. After Jesus finds him in the temple, from the porch to the temple, and saith to him, behold, thou art made whole. Did I tell you the part about sin no more? See, when Christ makes you whole, there's a requirement. Healing, there's no requirement. He can heal anybody. Your faith is so, be it unto you, that's fine. But if you want to be made whole this morning, there's some requirements to being made whole and to staying whole. He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. This man had gone from the porch to the temple, and he seems to be serious about living for God. But when Christ found him, he said, you better be serious about this. So serious, listen close, that if you don't stay serious, a more serious thing will come on you. Lord, he'd been there 38 years. Do you still want to be made whole, or you just want healing? Being made whole, there are some requirements. And some people just bounce around all their life, got a little God here, a little God there, never made whole. Never made whole. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. He was afraid to tell them. Before the Lord said, now listen, pal, a more serious thing going to come on you if you don't let them know. And he told them it was Jesus which had made him whole. As they come this morning, is there anybody in the house that wants to be made whole? Or you just want healing? You just want help? You want out of this financial situation? If we would learn to pray for wholeness, holiness, then the healing's automatic. Are y'all understanding my message this morning? If you pray for holiness, healing is automatic. Financial situations are automatic. Make me holy as thou art holy. Amen. This is not a motivational speech that I'm trying to give you this morning. It's an inspirational speech. Because when you motivate people, it lasts about 2 days or a week or whatever, about like a vacation lasts. You know, I'm going to cut away, I'm going to relax and come back, and you're more tired than you was before you. But an inspiration. Serious about this. I'm going to change my life. And I'm going to tell everybody that Christ changed my life. I'm serious. When I go to work in the morning, you're going to see a new me, brother. I ain't going to be the same anymore. I'll meet you at church every time the doors are open. Amen. And anytime they do something around here, I'll be here because I am serious about living for God. It's easy to pastor a serious church. That's why I've had a good time pastoring y'all, because all of y'all are serious. But you give me somebody that's not serious. Hey, brother, back, I need help. It's the same old thing. Every time, same old thing. They don't want to be whole. They just want help in that area. I remember the vision of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. It's a shame something has to die before you see the Lord sometimes. But he said, I saw the Lord. And he was high and he was lifted up. And this is what else I saw. I saw cherubims flying around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But wait a minute, that's not all I saw. When I saw that, I saw me. I saw myself. And I said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm not holy. I'm not holy. But I want to be holy. And when he showed the seriousness about being made whole, the Bible says one of those seraphims went over and got a live coal off of the altar, a hot one, and went over there. He said, He said, I'm telling you, he said, here's why he said, I'm not holy. I dwell among unclean people. I listen to their dirty jokes. And every once in a while, I laugh at it too. And I'm a man of unclean lips. The truth is, I think things and say things I shouldn't say. But I want to be serious about living for God. I see you now like I've never seen you before. That angel come over there and touched his lips. Welcome to holiness. He said, I'm through with all that now. Hallelujah. That'll burn it out of you. I am through with that. How many of you ever, you got through with the world? Anybody through with the world? I'm through with the world. That's why I don't play games with the world. If you want to know about Christ, I'll teach you all day long. But I do not have time to play games, and neither do you. No games. I'm serious. And when the Lord God purged him of his sins and his iniquities, then the Lord says, I wonder who shall I send and who shall go for me to prophesy to Israel? And he said, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Send me. Because now you have made me whole. You have made me complete. Now I can work in your kingdom. You can't halfway do this thing. You've got to do it with all your heart, all your mind. When Christ called his disciples, he said, you know, just follow me when you want to. No. Forsake houses, lands, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, or you cannot be my disciple. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Do I have any followers? Let them rise this morning. Stand to your feet this morning all over the building. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if you need anything from God, Brother Tidwell, I feel led to pray with you. Come. If you need anything from God, I don't want you to come down here and say, I want you to heal me of anything. I want you to come down here and say, I want to be made whole. I want to be made whole. I want to be made whole. And when you're made whole, the healing will come. The bad dreams will go. The financial situation starts getting better. Everything changes when you want to be made whole. So is anybody else? Stand up. Come on. Anybody else want to be made whole? Anybody want to be made whole? Want to be made whole? Healing is part of it, but I want to be made whole. Brother Tidwell needs to be made whole. He's been through a heart surgery, and he took a stress test. We heard in the prayer room. Amen. And I'm going to pray with him, anoint with all, that the Lord makes him whole. Makes him whole. As they sing this morning, why don't you gather around up here in the front, find you a place to pray. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe with all my heart, Brother Tidwell, God will make you whole. Jesus, in the precious name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, it's about being whole. It's about being complete in you, God. Hallelujah. And I ask you this morning, God, make him whole and complete, Lord. Hallelujah. In his body, in his soul, and in his spirit, God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's serious about living for you, God. He's serious about it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you serious? Are you really serious? Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you my heart. Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Make her whole, God. Make her whole, Jesus. Complete. Entire. Wanting nothing. Hallelujah. Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brother Wyatt, come, my brother, come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, I love this boy. I love him so much. I want him to be made whole young in life. Amen. I want him to be made whole young. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pray with me that the Lord would make him whole. Lord, make Wyatt whole in every way, God. Jesus, in the precious name of the Lord. Whole in body, whole in spirit, whole in marriage, whole in job, whole in everything, whole in finances, God. Whole in thinking, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Give them that state of mind, Lord, to be whole and well at all times, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I give you my soul.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Make him whole, Lord. Yes, Lord. In every way. In every way. Lord. Yes, Lord. In every way. In marriage and in health and in strength and in love, Lord. In compassion, Lord. Hallelujah. In job and in finances, Lord. Hallelujah. Make him whole in every way, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's serious. He's serious. He's serious. He wouldn't be here, God. He lasted this long. Some things he done by himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, I give you.
You serious? You serious? Hallelujah.
In
the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let seriousness get a grip of her heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let determination get a grip on her heart. Hallelujah. Strengthen her, Lord, on the inside. Immediately, God, give her strength. Hallelujah. And make her whole in spirit and in mind, God, and in body and soul, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says we're complete in him, lacking or wanting nothing. Nothing lacking in any area of your life. Nothing. And David said, you know, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. I'm not going to be lacking in any place in my life. If I need anything, I got a shepherd. He heals me. He feeds me. He comforts me. He makes me lie down. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my... Surely goodness and mercy going to follow me. He takes care of me. I feel led to pray before we leave this morning. If there's anything, whether you're a mother, raising kids or whatever, anything you feel like you're doing it by yourself, and you're strong enough to say, I need help. The man said, it's not done, not because I'm not trying. Sir, all these other people have somebody. I don't. But while I am determined to go, someone beats me, but I'm serious about being made whole. I wonder, anybody, maybe one, maybe none, maybe two, I don't know. Anybody who feels like you're carrying a load by yourself. Because you know what this man got? Strength. He was called the impotent man, the weak man. And what he got, he said, the Bible says, and immediately strength came to him. And what did he do? Took up his bed and walked. How? By himself. Yes. By himself. So anybody brave enough to say, I'm carrying a load by myself? It may be a couple that's carrying a load by themselves. I don't know. Anybody? Come on, brother. Anybody else? Come on. Carrying a load by myself. You need some immediate strength. Everybody that does anything by themselves, let me tell you something. You're serious about living for God. You wouldn't be here. You'd have been gone a long time ago. But you're serious. That's why you're still here. And you're doing it by yourself. And don't think God or heaven doesn't look down and say, that lady is doing it by herself. I'm going to give her some more strength today and tomorrow so she can carry that bed. If she's got to carry it alone, I'm going to carry it all the way to the grave. If that's what I got to do, I'm not giving up. I'm serious about it. And you're serious. Raising them two kids, you're doing a wonderful job by yourself. Amen. They're wonderful, cute little kids. I love them to death. She says they're demons at home, but I don't believe it. But she's doing it by herself. Brother George, you're doing it by yourself. God knows what you need. He knows who you need. He knows when you need it. This couple doing it by themselves. They're facing things by themselves. Sometimes as a couple, we're still one, right? But you face things by yourself. You're facing it by yourself. By yourself. By yourself. By yourself. I want to anoint you with oil, and I want God to give you immediate strength in every area of your life. Being made whole is not one area. Being made whole is in every area of your life. Come, my brother, pray with me. This couple, you need prayer? as they sing again, we're going to pray. Pray with me, church. Lord, in your precious name, I ask you this morning, God, you see exactly what they're doing, what they're going through together, Lord, as a team.